shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. It's Tuesday, and here we go again. Another day, a lot of insanity. You thought maybe things would tone down a little bit after the election. You'd be wrong. You'd be absolutely wrong. And we have much to say about what's going on in Arizona, what's going on in China as well. Both are being ignored by the Biden administration. I'll just tell you that. And I was thinking about what to open with today, what unifying thought. Yesterday, it was the fact that Merriam-Webster had made the gaslighting the word of the year. And it makes sense because a lot of people are looking it up. They're trying to understand and put into a nutshell what they're experiencing, which I've been talking about for a while now. And the fact gaslighting is being used against us to believe that to question all of our beliefs, to question what is right and what is wrong. We are told that the open southern border is not open. We should welcome people into the country illegally. And if you don't, you're a racist. You should allow transgender ideology in schools, and if you disagree with it, then you are absolutely I don't know what the hell you are. But anyway, they've got that going on. They've got teaching sex and sexuality to children in school. You know in your heart it's wrong because you have kids, or maybe you know someone who has kids, or maybe your kids are grown up, and you're going, really, are you absolutely serious? And yet you're being told that if you think the sexualization of children is wrong, then somehow you're a homophobe or a transphobe. And you are being told that don't worry about fentanyl deaths. They're really not happening. And you are being told that send as much money as possible to Ukraine. It's no big deal. You don't even need to itemize it. Just trust us. And you are being told a million different things, including you should have faith in the election system in this country. And every one of those things I just mentioned, you're all doubting every single one of them. You know why? Because they're all true. And because those who are saying that none of that is happening, they're gaslighting you. If you can't look at what happened in Arizona this year and say, wow, they really need an audit, or they need to have the election again, considering all the overwhelming evidence and the fact that the Secretary of State in the state of Arizona was running against a Republican candidate and supposedly has won the election, even though she never went on the campaign trail. She never did a debate. She is wildly unpopular. Her policy on the border is rejected by 87% of people in Arizona. And yet you're expected to believe that despite weeks of delays in the election, despite thousands of people saying they saw election chicanery or they had their votes stolen, they were able to figure it all out in Maricopa County and certify the election this morning. Well, I hate to tell you this. I don't think the American people, and certainly not the people in Arizona, are going to go quietly into the night on this one. Bring Brazil here. Bring China here. And I'm not talking about a violent overthrow. I'm talking about get in the streets, do what you got to do. Because Arizona, I'm just going to say it, cannot accept Katie Hobbs as the governor. It's time to raise some hell. And to not just be a means of taxation and production for a very corrupt government. I hope and pray for the overthrow of the Chinese Communist Party. I hope and pray for the overthrow of the Supreme Court of the country of Brazil and the reinstatement of Bolsonaro as the rightful president to the country. And I hope and pray that Carrie Lake becomes the governor of Arizona and all of this BS is made public. Because you know what happens when things are made public? The truth gets out. Regimes change. Totalitarians never win elections when. Two things. They have to be honest about what they believe. And they have fair elections. Both of those times, totalitarianism, communism, socialism, lose. When they have to lie about their beliefs to get in office, then change, when they get in office or when the elections are free and fair. Those are the times that totalitarians lose. And right now, there are a lot of totalitarians in charge. I've got some audio from Carrie Lake I want to share with you because she's not going down without a fight. This is a gentleman last night. He spoke in Maricopa County, and I'm going to just let him talk. And I've got plenty of audio from Maricopa County, the county commissioner's hearing, where, by the way, two of the county commissioners, two of the people on the election board, actually created a PAC against Carrie Lake. They fundraised against Carrie Lake. They are enemies of Carrie Lake. They are in charge of certifying an election rife with questions, rife with impropriety, and rife with chicanery. And I will share that with you. But I want you to listen to this man, because the Board of Elections of Maricopa County, they think this is just going to go away. They put the gavel down. They said this is over. Oh, they're sorely wrong. They're very, very wrong.
Clements, slave. That's what I am to this system, to your corruption. This is outrageous. This is a national crisis. And you're giving people 2 minutes to address a national crisis.
They're doing it again, aren't they? They're doing it again.
And the way that you guys can just sit there, it's disgusting. Watching you pledge allegiance to my flag was disgusting, the way that you sold us out. You said you don't have the statutory authority to do anything. You're going to take the...
Well, there better be a reasonable answer to voter fraud. And what they're doing is they're saying, well, we can't do anything about it. There's nothing we can do about it because the clock ran out. There was the deadline of November 28th. Carrie Lake said this was going to happen. They were going to try to run out the clock and use some strategical move so they could get past all the BS that the people of Arizona absolutely believe cost Carrie Lake an election. And by the way, it wasn't fair.
Yes, no vote. What does that tell us? Yes or no? If it's just yes, then why are you here?
Yep.
Why are you here then? You have discretion. And when you certify something, you're saying that it's trustworthy. There's nothing trustworthy about this.
Nope.
This is theater. It's optics. I was a longtime prosecutor. I went after drug traffickers. This is vote trafficking at its finest. Wow. I've seen the criminal element. You are vote traffickers. You are a vote trafficker.
Flagrant.
Criminal. What are you going to do about it? You've sold us out. You've sold us out. You've sold us out. So we're not here to be civil.
Nope.
You're worried about language? We're worried about our voices being stolen and never getting a fair election again. That's what we're worried about.
Freedom.
So a curse upon you, a curse upon all of you, you smug, smug people.
Amen, brother. Majority of Americans don't fully trust that America's elections are fair and accurate. Now, I mentioned this. I've been talking about this forever. I even heard Donald Trump at his announcement of his candidacy for president. His walk-on music before he was coming down the hall to enter the ballroom at Mar-a-Lago and make the announcement. Can you hear the people sing? It's a theme song from Les Mis. Les Mis is the story, an abridged version, based on the happenings of the French Revolution, when the people stormed the Bastille and overthrew the totalitarian state. Donald Trump played that song walking down the tunnel. I've been talking about, we are living a tale of two cities. I've been talking about this since Barack Obama was the president. Because you have two classes. You have a bourgeois and a proletarian. The bourgeois lives in Washington, D.C. They go to Washington, D.C. They spend our entire lives telling us how to live ours. This happens in state legislatures as well. See Maryland. See Pennsylvania. So you've got the bourgeois and the proletariat. Bourgeois lives high on the hog. They toss the crumbs to you and me. When there was a pandemic that was literally sponsored by the government and businesses were shut down, Nancy Pelosi waited until after the election to send people a relief check for the businesses that government closed down. Those are your crumbs. She ate ice cream out of a $24,000 freezer. $12 a pint ice cream. Like nothing was happening. Went to her hairdresser when all the other hairdressers were closed. And then there's you and me, the proletariat. We fight for the crumbs. We're the ones who have to deal with the $5, $6 gas, the $6, $7, $8 diesel fuel, the $2,000 fill-up of your fuel oil tank in the Northeast this winter that's going to nearly break you. But you should be happy with it. You should be happy with it. And on top of having two classes of people, an essential American oligarchy, which I said 10 years ago, the left in this country, they look at Russia as the template. They look at the partnership between oligarchs in Washington, D.C. and billionaires outside, and they grease each other's palms. And they enrich one another. And then on top of all of it, you've got a Bastille in Washington, D.C., where there are over 100 prisoners who went to Washington, D.C. to question and at least have heard their grievances with regard to the 2020 election after a peaceful rally by Donald Trump. So you've got a bourgeois, a proletariat, and you've got a Bastille. And if I'm not mistaken, if history repeats itself, this won't end well for the people in power. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about taking them down. Somebody has to pay the piper for these abuses and usurpations. And I'm going to tell you right now, if it's going to be Kevin McCarthy in charge of the GOP House, he better have a laundry list of payback from the American people. And it's going to start with unleashing all 14,000 hours of hidden video from the Capitol from January the 6th. A majority of Americans don't fully trust that America's elections are fair and accurate. 55% of voters also lack confidence in election results that are delayed. This according to Convention of States Action in partnership with the Trafalgar Group. Free and fair elections have been a bedrock of stability in our nation and an example around the world. We are now at a very precipitous place in our history. Have you in your life, and I've been on this planet for 57 years, have you ever seen anything like this with regard to free and fair elections in the United States of America, where you are waiting weeks or months for after the election to get the results, so Democrats, a lot of the times, can just find the votes, print the votes, and win the elections? We're not stupid. We aren't stupid. 56.8% of American voters don't fully trust America's elections are fair and accurate. 17% say they somewhat trust. 17% say they somewhat distrust. 22% say they strongly distrust, leaving 43% saying, they're okay. 43%. 89.7% of Republican voters don't fully trust America's elections are fair and accurate. You know why? Because when they delay election results, when their candidates are ahead on election night, and then it's 2 weeks in delay, and 85% of the time Democrats win. Well, I think I just explained the answer to that question. 30% of Democrats don't even trust the way America's elections are run. Bourgeois, proletariat, Bastille. And when you take away the people's voice with regard to an election, all bets are off. 800-922-6680. I've got much to say about this. I've got some amazing things that are happening in China. Oddly enough, some of the things happening in Twitter mirror what's happening in China. And the Democrats are freaking out about it. This, my friends, is a Tuesday edition of the Rob Carson Show.
They shut down your kids' school. They forced them to wear masks. They taught them CRT and radical transgender nonsense. Now Mama Bear and Papa Bear are pissed. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Arizona, it's Carrie Lake, and I wanted to update you on what's happening in our fight against Arizona's sham elections and those who run them. For starters, I want you to know that I am firmly in this fight with you.
Good.
Maricopa County just couldn't wait to certify their botched election. The botched election where half of Election Day voting centers were inoperable. The botched election where Election Day printers caused mayhem across the county. The botched election where Arizonans were expected to wait in line 2, 3, 4, even 5 hours simply to exercise their sacred right to vote.
This only happened in Maricopa County. There was a lot of other BS that happened around the country. I'm not going to get into all that. But the fact that you cannot question and you cannot consider an audit of the election, or you cannot consider a new election, is ridiculous. The verb gaslight comes from the 1938 play Gaslight by Patrick Hamilton, which also had two 1940s movie adaptations. In the story, a husband attempts to drive his wife insane by, among other things, dimming the gas lights in their house and claiming she was imagining it. Usually, gaslight has gained casual use outside of psychology, usually in the context of abusive relationships or political rhetoric. Gaslighting is the act of distorting the truth in a way that's intended to make another person accept the description or deception due to doubting their own memory, reality, or sanity. So all of the evidence, including Katie Hobbs being the Secretary of State, who did not recuse herself from the election, who did not fix the problems with the election last time, and only got worse, and only in Maricopa County, and only the day of the election, with 75% of the voters are Republicans, you're expected to think, oh, there's no big deal, just sign off on it. Bull crap. Absolute bull crap. Here's more from Katie Lake.
Maricopa County, where it took 2 weeks to count, is the poster child for broken, botched elections. But if you bring up any of these issues, you are labeled an election denier.
That's called gaslighting.
Or a conspiracy theorist. They don't want us talking about our shoddy elections under any circumstances.
Yep.
They shut us down.
Oddly enough, the same thing happened after another election about 2 years ago.
It made us fear exercising our freedom of speech. And they canceled anyone who questioned past elections.
I'm going to tell you, if this is allowed to stand, it will become metaphorical around the country. And there are many instances like this. And we're talking about electioneering going on at polling places. This has happened in Cincinnati and Chicago and cities all over the country. It has happened. I've seen it. I've had people call me from the line. Oh, yeah, I'm standing in line here. And they just bust in. The Democrats just bust in a truckload of people. And they unloaded them right here in front of the polling place. And they're getting out and they're giving them fully filled out voting cards so they figure out who they can vote for. And then they're giving them grocery cards and bags of groceries. And then there's the harvesting from, I don't know, places like nursing homes. Last election in Pennsylvania, where 95% of the votes, or no, no. 100% there were 93 nursing homes, and 100% of the people in the nursing homes voted, even though most of them can't feed themselves or are even conscious. And now this is like, I mean, this is the ultimate. You got a Secretary of State in charge of the election, should have fixed the election, didn't fix the election, is certifying the election. All of these voting machines, 30, 40% of them not working the day of in Maricopa County, when 75% of the people voting were Republicans. And if we let this stand, then it's over.
Arizona, America, if we do not stand up and speak up right now about the most dishonest elections in the history of Arizona, I truly fear for our future. Our sacred vote is supposed to be the great equalizer of the people. And right now, our vote has been trampled upon. We must work hard right now to save it. This is our last chance.
It is. Because if it gets, it doesn't get any more obvious than this. When you have two people on the Board of Elections who actually created a PAC to defeat the Republican candidate for governor,
this botched election should not be certified, especially in Maricopa County, where the Board of Supervisors are well aware of the catastrophic issues caused by maladministration of Supervisor Bill Gates and County Recorder Stephen Richer, who started a dark money PAC with the sole purpose of going after me, my campaign, and our movement.
This is as transparently corrupt as a Venezuelan election. I'm not kidding. I wish I were. It is as corrupt as a Venezuelan election. Your thoughts are welcome on the other side of this break. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Welcome.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
And perhaps the greatest conflict of interest of all, Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, the woman in charge of running her own election, who did almost zero campaigning, oversaw the botched election, is now threatening counties with legal action if they do not crown her governor by certifying the election that she botched.
Honestly, it doesn't get any more corrupt, right? The Secretary of State of a state should have recused herself from the election she was in charge of. Instead, marched forward, ran against a Republican for governor. The election was rife with incompetence at the least and massive fraud at the most. And the main county of largest population, where 70%+ of the people on election day who went to vote were Republican because Republicans were afraid of voter fraud, and somehow all of the machines, or at least 30% of the machines in Maricopa County, didn't work. Tabulators, printers, ballots stuffed in door number 3, and people told that they were going to have their votes counted and have gone back online and realized their vote was not counted. I can go on and on. Does it get any bigger than this? And if this is allowed to happen, then it's over. People know they're being lied to. Carrie Lake is not going to let this go.
We the people will not forget. God will not forget. And I will not quit. I want to ease your mind a bit. My case, our case, moves forward with these sham certifications. In fact, state statute requires certification before our case can move forward. Now, you know how hard I worked on the campaign.
Well, Maricopa gave it the thumbs up.
Trail, leading our movement to bring common sense solutions to our problem.
And there were other counties that actually, the people who voted to certify it were threatened with jail if they didn't. Unreal.
Problems. I am taking that same work ethic and using it behind the scenes right now, building a strong legal case. While we come together on this unifying issue of restoring honesty to our elections, rest assured, Arizona, nothing will stop me from putting everything I have.
All right. And by the way, just got this from Barry. It says here, what the heck is Governor Ducey doing? Why isn't he issuing an emergency order to recall the Arizona election and hold on to a special election with no mail-ins or early votes and only in-person voting with ID? He could do this if he chose, but instead he sits on his rhino rump. That's from Eddie, actually. Eddie, thanks for writing. Yeah, I know. See, this is why I'm not willing to go full bore on Ron DeSantis. He hasn't proved himself yet. You know, just when you think somebody's maybe conservative, then they do something like this. So I don't know. I shouldn't really. I believe Ron DeSantis. I believe he is a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. But there are other people that I'm, you know, no way. No. Really? Let's go to Bruce in Baltimore. Hello there, Bruce. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. If you look at the pattern in the state of Maryland, Arizona, Michigan, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Baltimore, all these were the same kind of rig. The Republicans were ahead for 5 days before they declared the election, certified it to the Democrats. Now, in those 5 days, they had to create election ballots to overcome the amount that they had to
To win.
For the Republicans. They had to beat the Republicans out. And that's what they did here in Maryland with the governor and the goddamn and the county executive and whoever else it may be. I don't know who else it may be, but this has got to stop. This has got to stop. We're destroying our country. I've been listening to you the whole time. I listen to you all the time.
Yeah.
People, listen to me. Wake up. Wake up. These people are out to kill us. They're out to take our country back.
Take it away from us, actually. Bruce, I appreciate the phone call. No, this was Barack Obama said it in 2007. He wanted to fundamentally transform America. I mean, dear Lord. Really? Duh. Man, I just get so tired of this nonsense. Bruce in Santa Cruz. Hello there, Bruce. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show on Glorious Affiliate KSCO. Go right ahead. Oh, Buster in Santa Cruz. Sorry about that. Buster, what's up, buddy?
Hey, my friend. I want to thank you for doing the Hank Williams. That was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I got that Hank Williams song. Are you the guy who came up with it, Buster?
I sure did. You know, that meant a lot. That really meant a lot. The next
family
day,
tradition. Wasn't it family tradition?
Yep.
What? That was your idea.
Yeah. Why do you smoke?
All right. I'm going to find that. I'll play it in a second. What's your thought, though?
Okay. You know what? The thing is, I want to say something to these people that think that this is a legitimate election process. I want to remind folks, and please don't take this wrong, but Americans, we invented the short hustle and the long hustle. I'm associating that with what's happening with Terry Lake, Rob.
Yeah.
What's happening to Terry, that's called the long hustle. I hope you follow me.
Yeah, I do. Wow.
And you know, brother, before I forget, I want to wish you and your family wonderful holidays, and God bless you, my friend. Thank you for being the voice of reason here.
Buster, in honor of you, who came up with the idea for this song parody, which Jim Gossett and I summarily wrote, I'm going to play it for you. Okay, buddy?
Take care, Rob.
Okay, buddy. Here it is right here. Biden family. I know they're trying to cash you, like you say they're not corrupt, but they are.
All the crooked Bidens have always been a close family.
But now.
When they make a dirty deal, the big guy gets a nice fee.
$60 million from China.
Joe must get his cut. Yeah, that's their one condition.
That's right.
Raking in dough to Hunter and Joe.
What is it?
Family tradition.
Woo-hoo!
Folks ask him, why do you drink?
Oh, there you go.
And why do you do coke? If your name weren't Biden, you would be flat broke.
You would.
Your Uncle James, he's a crook too. He's always under suspicion. Crime we know to Hunter and Joe. It's a family tradition.
Buster in Santa Cruz.
The new house can't bend. They must end this family tradition.
By the way, this according to Rasmussen, 62% of all Americans want Hunter Biden investigated. And are you ready for this? 61% say his father, Joe, was likely compromised by China business deals. Did you hear that? That's everybody. Democrats, Republicans. 62% want Hunter Biden investigated. 61% say his dad was likely compromised by China business deals. And you're expected to believe that America's down with it. America's completely down with it. Listen to this. So did you realize that Arizona counties were threatened with Class 6 felony charges if they didn't certify the Maricopa election? Did you realize that? Did you know that? In Mojave County, the Board of Supervisors, actually, this was Ron Gold. He is a Mojave County Board of Supervisors. He was told that if he didn't certify this fraudulent election in Arizona, that he would be thrown in jail.
I vote aye under duress. I found out today that I have no choice but to vote aye or I'll be arrested and charged with a felony.
This is America in 2022. This is America in 2022. Vote the way we say you do, even though there is ample amounts of voter issues in the state. Thousands of people who feel disfranchised, feel their votes have been stolen, were put off, standing in line for hours and told to go to another location, got to the other location, found out their vote had been canceled because they went to a second location and they couldn't go back to the first location. And these people are saying, no, wait. No. The 28th of November, that has nothing to do with anything. We need to get to the bottom of this. No, you don't. 28th is the deadline. And if you don't vote for it, you're going to jail.
I don't think that is what our founders had in mind when they used the democratic process to elect our leaders, our form of self-government. And I find that very disheartening. With your vote of 4 ayes and 0 nays, you've approved item 1B.
Well, let me see. If you told to vote some way, and if you don't, you go to jail. That doesn't sound very American, does it? Well, not really. This also happened in Yavapai County. I'm not familiar with the name. I apologize. But they were also threatened with a Class C 6 felony charges if they refused to vote for the election in time for the deadline, where they had no choice despite ample amounts of voter integrity issues. Bernie in Ridgely, Maryland. Hello there, Bernie. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Mr. Carson. How are you? Good. Let me say happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank
and
you.
Just let me clue you in that it's still happening here in the state of Maryland. Okay? Yeah. On 11-6, I went in and signed up a navigator for the state of Maryland during the open enrollment season for my health care. Okay? That was 11-6 at 2 o'clock. At 11-7 at 12 a.m. in the morning, on the application that was done by the Maryland Health Bureau, I was changed from a Republican to unaffiliated.
Really?
Yes, and I have the paperwork, okay? I refused did not leave that office yesterday. Could they give me the paperwork and tell me who changed me to unaffiliated?
That's odd. And I'm still trying to figure out what they would need that for, but I don't think evil. So, you know.
Well, Mr. Carson, that way I can't vote in the primary elections.
Ah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
In the general. And then if I walk into my voting place the day of the election, if you are unaffiliated, you can't change to Republican that day. You can sign up to be a new voter, but you can't change your affiliation the day of the vote.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Bernie, hang on. Listen, Bernie, hang on. I got to go run. Hang on to that material. Contact the local Republican Party, the Maryland GOP. I don't know.
I'm on Andy Harris. I've called them all. None of them call me back.
All right. Well, just stay in touch with us, okay, bud, and fight this. And thank you for paying attention to it, because that sort of crap is going on all over the country. I appreciate your phone call. This is at Maricopa County. This guy works for Real America's Voice and an organization called Frontline America. And here he is talking about what happened in Maricopa County. Powerful words from this guy.
The biggest concern I have is if this election is certified, the only parties that will benefit from this are the cartels. They've taken over Mexico, and sadly, they've taken over many politicians in America. What we saw on Election Day was outrageous. And to say that it was anything but that is either you think we're stupid or you're just that arrogant.
They're that arrogant.
What we've seen from you in the election office and your response.
If they can get away with this, they can get away with anything, anywhere in America. I mean it.
It's very simple questions needed to be asked. 2020 was a disaster. How was 2022 worse? You cannot say that you can certify an election when half of the voting machines were down. Was it 1,000 people that were disenfranchised? Was it 10,000 of the people that were there in line, or the people that didn't show up because they saw on the news the election machines didn't work? The fact that you've already made up your minds, you've already made the decision. This is all semantics. All of us coming up here and speaking is semantics. Yes. You've already made your vote. You've already made this decision. You said the world is watching, and you're right. They're watching, and they're watching this disaster play out in front of them. You responded to the AG with the most pathetic, inept response I've ever seen.
and two board members who certified the election in Maricopa County. Listen.
You have not redressed the grievances of these people. That is the question. And the answer that I hear from everyone across this room is you cannot certify. So the question is, what is the remedy? The fact that you were on a PAC that was going against Carrie Lake as well as Richer, going against Carrie Lake, how can you say that there's no conflict of interest? You have a Secretary of State running against a gubernatorial candidate. How can you say there's no conflict of interest? And then your machines go down on election day. It is absolutely outrageous. If you certify today, the only thing you'll be certifying is your corruption.
Yeah, your corruption. And dear God in heaven, I pray, and I will even give money to weed out this corruption, to find it, to prosecute it, and imprison it. This has to stop. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
If the mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party say you spread disinformation, it means you know the truth.
The important is you said the truth.
It's The Rob Carson Show.
I went to go vote. I didn't get to turn mine in. The man in front of me couldn't turn his in. The man behind me couldn't turn theirs in. And guess what? I checked on my vote. It never went through. You have heard from many people, people in charge of the election. We are coming to asking you to dig deep in your heart and not be condemned to hell one day. And why am I saying that? Because I'm a party person? I don't have a party. I'm an independent. I'm the outcast. But you know what? I'm standing here for the Constitution of the United States. And you guys are who we're looking to. Sheriff's Department, you know why I praise you? Because you don't stand up under these people. You stand up under the Constitution of the United States of America.
And you know what? That Maricopa County Board, they knew what they were going to vote last night, this morning. They knew exactly how they're going to vote. And no amount of Mr. Smith goes to Washington would make a damned difference to them. Charlie Kirk tweeted this morning, Maricopa County Poll Observer just testified at the Board of Supervisors hearing that at 7 o'clock there were 675 people waiting in line when the polls closed. Only 150 people ended up voting. Oh, by the way, they didn't extend the deadline for voting in Arizona and Maricopa County. They said, nope, you're done. If you're in line, you're fine. And you could be there all night. But most people were like, I can't do this. How many ended up not voting at all? 525 voters were disenfranchised at one polling place. One polling place. Wow. Let's see here. This is a woman named Janelle Weaver talking about her experience in Arizona and not being heard as they certified the election in Maricopa County.
Hello, I'm Janelle Weaver. I live in Goodyear. I was a poll observer in Tonopah at the Valley Baptist Church on election day. I was there at 5:40 in the morning.
She's a denier.
So I saw opening procedures.
Denier.
And I left at about 1:40.
Everything was fine.
From the start, both tabulators were not working.
Yeah.
I was told by the workers that the second machine wasn't working the night before during a test run, but the first one had ran perfectly.
Yeah, none of them really stopped working until Election Day when 70% of the people voting were Republicans. A little bit more from a testimony from the people to a tone-deaf Board of Elections in Maricopa County.
Tom Vonick, I am a Maricopa County resident. I worked as a registration clerk at the Dysart Community Center at 14414 North El Mirage Road on November 7th and 8th. On November 7th, we had a few issues with the printers, but by the end of the day, we had everything functioning properly. On the 8th, we arrived for our shift at 5:30 a.m. When we started our equipment check, none of the site books would connect to the server. We couldn't even access the time clock to punch in.
Wow, weird. Oh, here's another person who testified, but the Board of Elections didn't listen to them.
Thank you, BOS, and all for hearing me today.
Listen to her. She's a denier and probably a white supremacist, MAGA, Trump, anti-democracy, you know.
I am Joanne Pierce, an in-town resident of Wickenburg. On October 10th, 2022, a massive hurricane hit and devastated Florida. on November 8th.
I'm going to continue with that soundbite in just a second, and your phone calls at 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Like the show? You can help by subscribing and leaving a 5-star review on both Apple and Spotify. It's free.
Hey guys, it's Carson, and I have a Christmas gift idea I'll bet your friends and family don't already have. As many of you may know, I have a passion for cooking. I've got about 100 cooking videos on the web. And one of the things that I like to cook this time of year are heirloom soup beans. Now, I made ham hocks and beans the other day. My wife gave me the thumbs up. Not quite as good as her mom's, but pretty darn good. And I used heirloom soup beans. Now, here's the good news. My friends at Powerful Living have just received a fresh batch of premium heirloom soup beans, the ones I cook with. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, some of the best tasting heirloom beans in the world. Best part, I have them for a hefty discount for my listeners. So if you go to heirloomsoupbeans.com, that's heirloomsoupbeans.com, give a beautifully packaged collection of premium heirloom beans on sale right now at heirloomsoupbeans.com. It's chili season, baby. That's heirloomsoupbeans.com.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show, hour number two of the radio program. The phone number is 800-922-6680. If you would like to participate in the radio program, I just want to mention a couple of things here real quick. What do you think? Trump or DeSantis? Trump or DeSantis? Newsmax conducting an urgent poll. Do you want Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis as your candidate in 2024? Here's how you can vote. And by the way, we won't steal the election. Just wanted you to know, the Newsmax. We don't do that. We don't do that. We're honest. We're up front. We're, you know, right out there. We don't say like we're, you know, whatever, journalist, and then, you don't know what to believe. Anyway, well, we'll get to that. But just go to, just text the word event to 39747. Event to 39747. Follow the prompts and log your vote and tune into Newsmax for news you can trust. I do have some Rob Schmidt. We've got a lot of real talent at Newsmax. I mean, other than me. There's me. I'm just like the sun. Here's the solar system. Here's Rob Carson. And all the other ones just kind of, are you kidding me? I'm just, I do a weekend show. But that said, Rob Schmidt is fantastic. I love his monologues. I love the bedside manner that he has is so good. So cogent, so chill to some degree. Just enjoy Rob Schmidt on Newsmax. And if you want to NewsmaxTV.com, check for local listings. But honestly, like what I do every night, 349 on DirecTV. That's where I watch it. But Newsmax is everywhere. Go to NewsmaxTV.com for listings where you can join it. And then you can watch my show, which Donald Trump says is the funniest thing on television. So again, text the word event to 39747, 39747 event, and you'll find out there. A little bit more from this. Joanne Pearson, Maricopa County. She's a demure older woman talking about how that Maricopa County, literally the Secretary of State running for governor, the Secretary of State charged with fixing the election irregularities that happened in 2020, didn't do it, didn't recuse herself as the person in charge of elections as she ran for governor against Carrie Lake, who, by the way, she did not do any campaign appearances. She did not do any debates with Carrie Lake, and she supports an open border, which 87% of the people of Arizona do not. I'm going to tell you right now that if you take away the will of the people, it's not going to end well for the people in power. And I mean this in Phoenix, and I mean this if Carrie Lake becomes, or Katie Hobbs becomes the governor of Arizona. This cannot stand. But here is this this demure person at the Maricopa County Elections Board meeting who was not listened to because they'd already made up their mind to certify it. And here she is talking about what they did in Florida with an election despite a hurricane.
On November 8th, 2022, a few weeks later, 7.5 million people voted on written ballots in the general election. 5 to 7 hours later, all ballots were hand counted And the winners of those elections were announced.
Well, isn't that amazing how that happens? And if I'm not mistaken, that's the way it used to be in this country before they started stealing votes. Yeah. Here's Jim Gossett. You knew this song was going to happen. Maricopa.
Every election.
Postmaster.
In Arizona.
Talked right up to the
winner. There's always problems to be found. Machines seem to go down. The worst offender.
Boom.
It's Maricopa.
Maricopa.
They did it again because the fix was in. They stole the race from Blake. They ripped off Kerry Lake. One particular place really takes the cake. Maricopa.
Cope.
That crooked county.
County.
The fraudsters were paid a big bounty.
I do background vocals.
Maricopa.
Copa.
That screwed up county. Election stealing. Katie's dirty dealing. Maricopa.
Don't quit, Kerry. Don't quit. That is Jim Gossett. He's going to be, by the way, the 3rd of December this weekend in Atlanta doing a live show. If you want to go, just go to jimgossettcomedy.com. Two S's and two T's. jimgossettcomedy.com. Now, the same thing's going on in Brazil, by the way. Brazil, kind of similar, I guess, what happened in the United States of America. The candidate who didn't campaign, the candidate who had all these skeletons in his closet, was supported by social media. All the scandal was kept under wraps. The whole deal got elected, even though he didn't do any debates, even though he didn't go out and do a lot of campaigning and the whole deal. Supreme Court is backing this guy. Military is saying, I don't think so. I think we're going to stick by Bolsonaro. And I pray for a revolution in Brazil. Yeah, I do. I pray for it. You bet you 100%. Because once you start stealing elections, once you turn away the will of the people and just expect us to be means of production and taxation is the day that we go, I don't think so. This is Matt Tiermond last night talking about the Brazilian election. I believe this happened with Tucker.
Well, you're right. It is a complicated situation. We are in day 29 of mass protests in Brazil, a democratic country with free elections. And we're talking not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, but millions. And what looks to be, when all said and done, will be tens of millions. This is the largest democratic protest in possibly human history, and the global media is crickets on this. It is.
Isn't it kind of weird? Isn't it just kind of weird that the global media is on the same side as our media and big social media?
Totally being memory-holed in real time. But the people are very clear. They do not want to be led by a convicted criminal. And recall, Lula da Silva was convicted in three separate courts of 12 charges.
He's a scumbag.
By 19 judges unanimously, not Bolsonaro appointees. This was years before Bolsonaro. And his judicial appointees in the Supreme Court had freed him in the last 2 years just so he could run in this race, and they annulled and vacated his multiple sentences, 12-year sentence.
I mean, this is bad, but it's not as bad as a Secretary of State running for governor, having control of the election, and then, the bleep hitting the fan in the biggest, most populous county in the state when most Republicans, her opposition, voted for her opponent.
580 days he served. They let him out to run.
Yeah.
And Brazil has a law on the books that says no convicted felon can be an elected office, and they vacated that. They absolutely put him on the chessboard so that they could attempt to control the outcome. And now the people in mass are crying foul, even in the districts where he supposedly has a stronghold, say the Amazon with indigenous peoples. They're marching on Brasilia. Every city in the country is filled with protesters. And now the question is, what is to be done when you have a judiciary that is not comprised of judges in the classical sense, impartial, nonpartisan judges, but political appointees and partisans who are working to skew an electoral outcome. And so the military has a special role in the Brazilian Constitution, Article 142, that says they are the ones to adjudicate separation of power disputes.
It never ends well when the people have no recourse. It never ends well for the people in power when the people have no recourse. Not one little bit. And this is going on, there's some protests in China. I'm going to get into this in just a second because I have, when you're on the planet long enough, you'll remember things as they happen in history like they were yesterday. And I've been on the planet, 57 years, and I remember my first year in broadcasting. And I remember watching the Berlin Wall fall. And I remember protests in Tiananmen Square. And I thought maybe the people's voice would be heard like it was when the wall fell down peacefully in Berlin. And the lights went out one night. and the bullets started raining down on the crowd, and the bodies were crushed under tank wheels, and all of the bodies of 2,500 plus people were washed into the storm drains. And for the last 33 years of my life, most of my adult life, I've questioned why no one says anything about it. Nobody in political office says anything about it. Nancy Pelosi, I think she said something about it when it happened. And then, not so much. And why is it? Well, because China makes these really cool $1,200 phones we have in our pockets, and the cheap whatever that we have. It may be some of your Christmas decorations, all made in China, made in China, made in China. What does made in China mean? Made in China means cheap. And you and me, we bought things made in China, and we've loved those cheap tchotchkes from China. Oh, my God in heaven, it's glorious, without even realizing or ignoring what they've done. What they have done. I've got more on that in a second. Let's go to, Liz in Bridgeville, Delaware. I love Delaware, by the way, and I love Grotto Pizza even more. Liz, hello and welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
And I know you love Joe Biden, too.
Yes, yes.
I'd like to know, are the Republicans going to get good at ballot harvesting? Are they going to be able to go out to the homes of people who wouldn't normally put the effort in to go out to vote? Or are they going to go to nursing homes and collect ballots? Are they willing to send out people to harvest those votes for 2024? They didn't learn the lesson from 2020 to do it in 2022. Are they going to learn it for 2024?
I think more importantly, there should be a mandatory 10-year sentence for voter fraud. And if that doesn't work, we just go ahead and make it the death penalty. I've heard death penalty, actually. Yeah, maybe death penalty is a little much. But I got to tell you, a 10-year penalty for voter fraud. And I don't want to play their game. We've got to get in control of mail-in ballots. Well, you know what the Democrats will do? They'll just change the mail-in ballot rules. I mean, are you kidding me? You think playing their game's going to work? No. Vote fraud gets you 10 years in jail. That's it. And you lose your right to vote the rest of your life. That's how we end it. Let's go to Christopher. Go ahead.
Done quickly, but that would do the prosecution aren't willing to do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I don't think there's an easy solution, but I don't think the solution is playing their game. Do I believe that Republicans could have a better ground game? Yes. But I also, seriously, we need to nationwide consider voter fraud very seriously, and perhaps that is something the new Republican-controlled House of Representatives can introduce. I appreciate the call. Got to run, though. Let's go to Christopher in Catonsville, Maryland. Hello there, Christopher. What's up, buddy?
Hi. Nothing against the previous Liz there, but real quick, thanks from Liz Cheney to all the DeSantis voters. And moving on, the victory by no debating is not a new thing here. Maryland, Clayce, and Fumi handily defeated Kim Klasick, like really quick, and she was all over the place. Man, it's not a thing. And I think some people should be, you know, might have been born to be felons. And just have to, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, as somebody who lived, somebody who lives,
I'll go to jail for him. How about that? No.
Christopher, I lived in Maryland for 12 years, and if you are a constitutionalist, if you are a conservative, you have no voice. I mean, it's because you've got the general asylum, which is this bat guano crazy legislature, and it's out of control. And how much of this is fraudulent? Who the hell knows? To be quite honest, because I think the Democrat Party in the state of Maryland is a criminal cabal. To be honest, right. Absolutely, 100%.
But it absolutely makes totally no sense. It's, you know.
I just feel bad for those who choose to live in Maryland who are conservatives or even just want a fair vote, because you really have no say in anything. You don't. And I would venture to say most Maryland parents do not support the crap that they're teaching in schools. They don't look at Baltimore as the template for primary and secondary education. They look at it as a joke. They look at the crime in Baltimore. Yeah. Nobody voted for that crap, dude. Nobody did. Yeah. It's just Maryland is run by a cabal of career criminals. I got to take a break.
Not woke back in 2016.
So. I know, it's been going on forever.
And
the only way that I would ever consider moving back to Maryland would be unless they completely overturn the crap that goes on in the state capitol. And I don't think they're going to. Let's take a break. It's the Rob Carson Show.
His pronouns are he and man. His adjectives are awesome and excellent. And his interjections are hell and yeah. It's the Rob Carson Show.
You know, there's so many ways that the Biden family exemplifies not only corruption, just inhumanity in general. This is, normally it'd be a punchline. I don't think it's funny. White House is leaving out Hunter's daughter. He had with a stripper out of wedlock from a stocking display for a second year in a row. First Lady Jill Biden, who acts very demure, and she's America's mom, but she's really not. She's really not a very good person. She pushes her feeble husband to run for president and then walks him around and feeds him applesauce at night. Anyway, First Lady Jill Biden unveiled the White House Christmas decorations on Monday that featured stockings over the fireplace for the 8 Biden grandchildren. Even Peter Neal, Naomi's Biden's new husband, first dog Commander, and first cat Willow got a stocking. There was a little stocking there right next to the Secret Service agent's stocking, and Commander actually bit onto it. It's just they hang right there. Anyway, but little Navy Joan Roberts, the 4-year-old daughter Hunter Biden bore out of wedlock 4 years ago, was left out of the display. The Biden family, including Hunter, reportedly never met Navy, though she was born August 2018 to London Alexis Roberts. And I think it's really sick. I'll just tell you, I was adopted. I was given up for adoption, and then I was adopted by a wonderful woman named Bonnie, who passed away a year and a half ago. I'm very blessed to have her in my life. And my first adopted father left me when I was 7 years old, never looked back. And when you have a father in your life, and I tell you what, not enough time is spent on this, particularly, like in our inner cities where 80% of the young men are being raised without fathers. It's unreal. When you have a parent who doesn't want anything to do with you, that when a child becomes self-aware about that, it is torturous. And this was no mistake of hers to be born. It was no mistake. Her mother, she made a mistake. Hunter Biden, scumbag. But at the same time, this little child bears no responsibility for any of it. And I think it's really sad and pathetic that Jill Biden and Joe Biden won't recognize a little girl that is their biological grandchild, Navy Joan Roberts, who everybody knows is Hunter's child. It has been proven. And then Hunter Biden is saying, I can't afford child support. Oh, this is great. Hunter Biden says he can't afford child support. Yeah, he asked court to recalculate his child support payments, arguing he could no longer afford them. I guess he's not selling enough of them paintings to China. Yeah, he said, I attested I am unemployed and have had no monthly income since May of 2019. At the time, of course, when he said that, he was living in a $12,000 a month Los Angeles rental property driving a Porsche Panamera. Mm-hmm. Sure, buddy. Sure, buddy. While all this is going on, the United States government is once again missing the opportunity for a birth of freedom in another part of the world. They did this during Iran's Green Revolution when Barack Obama let that fall. We saw it again here with Cuba. Cuba earlier this year was having a major uprising. Joe Biden's administration completely ignored it. What's going on in China right now? Because he's got a $1,200 phone and cheap shoes and a lot of money coming to Joe Biden's family because they bought access to it. Nobody's saying a thing about what's going on in China. A draconian lockdown where people were literally locked in their homes by the government. The building caught fire and they burned to death. Because of it. Here's Rob Schmidt with a little recap of what's happening in China that is falling on deaf ears with the Biden administration.
All right, welcome back. There's an incredible movement happening in China as we speak. Thousands are risking their lives defying the communist government. Many of them are college students, if you can believe it, who, unlike American college students, are not screaming for more government, more rules, and more censorship and more socialism. They're screaming for far, far less.
Because people here have never been without freedom. I mean, half of us have. Freedom of expression for conservatives. Yeah, we haven't had that for years.
CNN describing it like this. Thousands have defied Chinese authorities to protest at universities and on the streets of major cities, demanding to be free.
Here, it's kind of interesting. Don't you suppose if we have $60 or $100 billion to send to Ukraine for supposed Ukrainian freedom, even though the guy in charge is a totalitarian, but he's fighting against... Why can't we come up with a few billion dollars for the opposition in China? Why is that? Maybe because they're bought and paid for.
Not only from incessant COVID tests and lockdowns, but strict censorship and the Communist Party's tightening grip over all aspects of life. Across the country, "Want Freedom" has become a rallying cry for a groundswell of protests, mainly led by the younger generation. The younger generation.
Meanwhile, our younger generation voted for abortion in January the 6th, and they're perfectly fine with censorship because largely they graduate indoctrinated leftists, and they don't care about freedom of expression when it comes from the other side of the political equation.
Too young to have taken part in previous acts of open dissent against the government.
Here is John Kirby of the State Department diminishing the powerful transformation that's happening in China.
The statement you issued, or that was issued earlier today, didn't include any explicit calls for China to stop detaining and harming protesters and journalists.
We're watching this closely, as you might expect we would. And again, we continue to stand up and support the right of peaceful protest. And I think we're going to watch this closely, and we'll see where things go.
There's a difference between pretending like you're down with it and actually doing something to support it and embolden it. And we've always been a voice of freedom around the world. We saved the entire world a couple times last century. Thought you should know that. Then we stuck around and rebuilt the countries afterwards. Thought you should know that, too. Right now, when people are crying freedom and being murdered in the street, we got nothing to say about it as long as they're leftists. Pretty remarkable. Kay Smythe, political pundit, millennial, joins us in just a moment to discuss all of this and more on The Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Your business. What you do to our country is ours. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show, Tuesday, and we thought that things might die down a little bit with regard to just the temperature of the country and the world after the midterms. That is not the case. There's a lot of things going on in China. The United States has the opportunity to actually do something to actually support freedom for a change, unlike the Green Spring with Iran when Barack Obama was the president, the revolution that's happening with women in Iran that's going on right now, that the feminists in this country and the left in this country are completely quiet about. It's kind of funny. The same thing with China. Same thing a few months ago with Cuba. It's remarkable to me. Joining me on the phone is Kay Smythe. She is a conservative influencer, millennial, and a friend of the show. Kay, first of all, let me ask you this. United States plays Iran today in the World Cup. Do you follow soccer at all? Is the World Cup a big deal to you or no?
I am paying attention to the World Cup this year. I've written a few stories about it. I watched the Wales v. USA game, which was actually, I thought the USA's defending was absolutely incredible. But in a more macro sense, no. Soccer is a hairdo sport, as I like to say. You know, it's all about them flopping their hair all over the place on the pitch and like prancing around. I'm more of a rugby girl. Yes. I'm far more of a rugby girl. But I think, you know, the issue is, as soon as they said that, or like FIFA announced that the World Cup was going to be in Qatar,
yes,
everyone in the UK just kind of turned around and went, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because obviously the UK is a huge, huge, we call it football, but it's a huge soccer country. But we also know about the sort of human rights atrocities that go on in Qatar.
Yeah.
As, you know, I think everyone knows about it at this point, but yeah, we can get into it more.
And I think
everyone in the UK was just sort of like, well, you just took the fun out of it, guys.
Well, it's nakedly obvious when you've got all sorts of human rights abuses. Certainly the women in Qatar do not enjoy the same freedoms that men do. And honestly, it is a sellout with FIFA. Same way with, you know, the Olympics. The Olympics are a joke. They sell to the highest bidder. They enrich themselves. That's kind of what it sounds like with FIFA. I hope that the United States support the freedom movement in Iran. I thank them for not singing their national anthem, which is really an anthem for the mullahs of Iran, the other day. I thought that was very powerful. I still want the United States to win. But I think that, like, with the first game when we played, who the hell did we play? We tied, Wales?
That was Wales.
Oh, yeah, Wales. Lovely. Oh, my God. Ooh, they played for 3 hours, and they scored zero times. I mean, really. Oh, yawn. And then to add insult to injury in Qatar, they got rid of beer. How can you watch soccer without beer? I guess what I'd have to say is there were like 14 million people who watched that game, including my son. You know why you watch that game? Do you have any idea?
Why?
Ted Lasso. That's it. It's Ted Lasso. That's it. And Ted Lasso made that game interesting for about a half an hour, and then it went away. Do you ever watch Ted Lasso?
I absolutely 100% agree with you. There were so many aspects of that show that I was like, this is so good. This is so fun. Yeah. This is so cute. This is like the, especially for me coming from the UK, coming from Wales.
Yeah.
I grew up around that kind of like footy culture, as we call it, like football, soccer culture. My hometown was in the Premier League for many years and it completely gentrified our hometown. But I worked in sort of like nightclubs a lot. I used to work on the door, not as a bouncer. I would just sort of take.
Why does it not surprise me? You were a wait. You were a bouncer. You weigh like 100 pounds.
I'm like I have like a bit of psycho Smythe in me, you know, like especially when it comes to my hometown. Like I get super Welsh and super aggressive, that's why my best friend in the universe. He bought and developed a bunch of different buildings and turned them into like bars and nightclubs. And he was like, the only person I trust on the door is Kay, because she's the only person who's like sweet enough to say, yeah, come on, come inside. But if you cross me, I will lose it.
I love
it. So, you know, I'm like, I'm very, very, I'm a very calm person, which is, I think, another reason why I don't get super into soccer, because it is just a lot of kicking back and forth. And that's also why I think like, Ted Lasso just got very dry very quickly for me, because I need that, like, even though it has some edge, I need more edge. I'm more of like a sort of like Veep, the thick of it.
Yeah.
What was that other show that Armando Iannucci's just done on HBO? Oh, Avenue 5.
I haven't seen that.
That's pretty edgy. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. But Ted Lasso, I've been kind of enjoying. It's like Bull Durham and Major League meets soccer. And I like it. I don't love it. I don't go crazy like I got to watch Ted Lasso. But it did create some, you know, interest. Let's move on and let's talk about Arizona's election. How about what happened in Maricopa County with the Maricopa Board of Supervisors giving thumbs up on the deadline for the election results to be certified? And by the way, several counties in Arizona where Board of Supervisors were threatened with jail unless they voted to certify the election. What are your thoughts about that and Carrie Lake's fight?
Well, that sounds corrupt as heck. And look, Rob, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an expert. I had a lot of friends who worked on that campaign, who covered that campaign. And I think that, you know, the further west you get in the United States, the more corrupt and blatantly corrupt politics becomes. It's like the closer you get to Hollywood, the more these people act like the entertainment industry and not elected representatives. And I dealt with, you know, the Board of Supervisors in Los Angeles, for example. I actually had, this is a crazy story, Rob, and this is why I don't trust like pretty much anyone in politics at all, really. And that this was the first time this ever happened to me. Catherine Barger, went on Dr. Drew, had a radio show at the time. She went on Dr. Drew's show to talk about the homeless crisis, right? It's plaguing the United States, but it's really concentrated in Southern California.
Yeah.
So she goes on the show and says, not verbatim, but words to the effect of, we need people like Kay Smythe advising and consulting us on how to mitigate this crisis, because clearly the tactics we're using aren't working. So this was, you know, pre-pandemic. I called her countless times. I emailed her. I hit her up on Twitter. I then get told by a mutual colleague that she basically slut-shamed me behind closed doors, apparently.
Wow.
And never returned my calls, anything. So I was like, these are people who will stand up any day of the week and say what they need to say publicly to get you to vote for them, and then they're going to do whatever the heck they want behind closed doors. And I think that Arizona has taught us that for a very long time. I think Los Angeles does a better job of hiding it under the glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
But if it's happening in Arizona, it will come to the rest of the United States. This stuff is moving. It's moving eastwards out of the West Coast. This corruption, the all of the crises that we're really facing as a country right now are really just sort of moving towards the East Coast slowly. But they'll be here before you know it.
And there's also, they have been bastions of corruption, Chicago, Cincinnati, St. Louis. I can go on and on. That's been going on for 50, 60 years. It has been happening. Let me also ask you about Twitter and Elon Musk. A lot of Democrats are going bat guano crazy. Corinne Jean-Pierre yesterday talked about, yeah, maybe we need to look into Twitter. Twitter's about ready to unleash hell with regard to who was working with them with the government to shut down freedom of speech with regard to Hunter Biden's laptop and the whole deal. What are your thoughts about Elon Musk and the new Twitter? Because I'm with it 100%, by the way.
Oh, dude, I'm so here for it, as the kids are saying. Like, I'm just sitting back, like, eating my popcorn and just watching and reveling in the anarchy. It is just so ridiculous. And, like, I honestly, as soon as Elon actually made the purchase and started operating things at Twitter, I was like, this is incredible. This is a reality show that all of us are participating
in. Yes.
We can sit here on our phones and just watch, like, people just lose their minds, essentially. And Rob, get this. So you use Twitter a lot. I use Twitter a lot because we have to for work.
Sure.
But that's pretty much the only reason that I use it.
Exactly.
If it weren't for what I do for a living, yep, I would avoid Twitter like the plague.
No.
And yet I've had people back in the UK, like members of my family who are also writers, who are also in the media, say, oh, well, you know, Twitter's for like really professional journalists. If you really want to be engaged, go to Twitter. And I'm like, so people who don't even use Twitter have completely the wrong interpretation of what it is.
Yeah.
And those of us who are on it are just watching the whole thing burn, and we're just sitting back going, wow, this is wild.
Yeah.
And that's essentially the way that I'm looking at it. I can't take it more seriously than that. I really can't.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that Elon Musk is going to come out of this as one of the most transformative people in history with regard to freedom of expression. I really believe that, Kay, because if you look at Twitter, and how it was used by the government to suppress information, literally used by the United States government as a tool, an anti-constitutional tool of the state to suppress what the state calls disinformation, and that Elon Musk has gone in and purchased it. Do you think he's going to make money? Sure, he went into it hopefully to make money, but it looks like he's the first. He's like the Donald Trump of social media. He's doing to what social media, what Donald Trump did to Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump isn't done. What do you think about that?
Oh, I love that analogy so much. Who's going to be the Donald Trump of entertainment? That's what I want to see.
Well, that would be a guy named Rob Carson, who does a show out of Kansas City.
So true.
I'll just answer that question for you right now.
I want like the Hollywood Donald Trump to come up next. I want someone to start making a conservative version of Hollywood that isn't just cringe, you know? That's what I want to see.
Well, you've got...
I think you're right. Like, that analogy saying that Elon is the Donald Trump of freedom of speech and information on Twitter, I think that's beautiful. Yeah. I also think it's really interesting that we've got Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and I think a few other, like, social media folks are stepping down from their positions in the coming year ahead of 2024. So I think that's very interesting.
Well, we are, but think about it. We're winning, okay? We're winning. Now, when you thought of, we were talking about, you know, who's going to be the person in Hollywood? I won't say Chris Pratt is, but he definitely is powerful as a leading man. It hasn't cost him his career. When that domino falls, who the hell knows? But we are winning. CNN Plus folded. $300,000 spent on it. Disney on the rocks right now. Facebook has lost, well, Mark Zuckerberg, 70% of his value. We are saying no. We're saying no. New Disney movie out this weekend in theaters. Nobody went to see it. They spent $300 million on the movie. It made $120. They're going to lose their butts on it. They're going to lose their butts on it. And then also, I might mention, the box office at theaters, $95 million Thanksgiving weekend. Last time they kept track, it was $150 million. People are saying no. They're saying, you know what? Not going to be preached at. We're not going to be told what we can or cannot say. We're not going to be told that this is normal. And they're saying no. So we are winning. As they try to steal things at the ballot box, we are winning the cultural war. We really RK, it's a small percentage of people who are driving this trans nonsense, sexualization of children nonsense, all of that crap that's being driven by a very small subset of the country, and the American people are saying no.
I love it. And you are so, so, so right. I was on Newsmax this Sunday on Wake Up America. I do my Sunday debate every weekend, 8:30 Eastern time. And we talked about Yellowstone, which is now what, like the most viewed show ever in the history of everything always. And it's not like necessarily the most anti-woke show, but it definitely isn't a woke show. Nothing that Taylor Sheridan does or has created. You know, he's got Tulsa King. He's got 1883. Yeah. You know, you look back at all of his movies like Sicario, Hell or High Water. What's the other one? The one
I'm not all that familiar
Wind
with.
River. Like, none of them are woke. And all of them are some of, like, it's literally the greatest writing in entertainment, in my opinion, of all time. And it was so funny because in the debate, you know, I debate this guy, Alice Hennigan. Yeah. He was like, oh, this cowboy thing is like, you know, no one actually wants to live that way. No one actually wants to do that work. And I'm like, I'm on the board of directors for a nonprofit that's a bunch of cowboys and cowgirls who got together and said, you know what? We do a lot of great work with women who've, you know, been rescued from domestic violence situations, actually a lot of times by the founder of this organization. It's called War Party Ranch. But we teach them transferable skills so they can go and work out in the real world of ranching. And even though I think, you know, farming, agriculture, ranching, like they're becoming honestly some of the most not like they weren't the most difficult careers ever, but the lifestyles are certainly fading out and having to adapt super rapidly, but more people are going towards those lifestyles, and there are more good people in that world than ever before.
You gotta listen, we gotta take a break. Let's come back. We'll do the second segment. How's that sound? We'll do a second segment after the break. Does that sound cool? Can you hang on?
I'm here for it. Yeah, let's all go. Right.
Case Smythe coming up. Stick around.
Say it loud and proud. Let's go, Brandon. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Joining us on the Newsmax hotline is Kay Smythe. She's a writer for the Daily Caller, a writer, commentator. You're a millennial. Millennial. Kay saves the USA. Kay, you mentioned to me off air, you came to the States as a left-leaning socialist.
I did.
How long did it take?
Bernie shirt and everything.
How long did it take you, and what triggered it? Because I'll tell you this. I graduated from college right about the same time that Rush Limbaugh, I think 2 years after he came to New York. So I was a late-stage Rush baby. I knew I was fairly conservative. Rush Limbaugh really, like so many, helped me to educate myself about conservatism and the fact that the media is so left of center. And he taught me a lot, and then I took it from there. But what changed you to where you are now? Because you're pretty hardcore conservative.
I am pretty hardcore conservative. I'd say I'm more like hardcore patriot.
Yes, there you go.
But so when I moved out here, I lived in California. I lived in Los Angeles, and you know my story in Los Angeles. There's so many different things. It was sort of like a snowball effect, right? Yeah. I came out here because a group of former like Salvadoran and Mexican gang members were working with a nonprofit, and I wanted to write about them, and I wanted to write about the work that they were doing and how they sort of transitioned from being in prison for, you know, pretty heinous crimes to, well, one of them became an Emmy nominated actor.
Gotcha.
And so I came out here with, you know, that sort of very European liberalism kind of mind, like all people are fundamentally good, blah, blah, blah. And I guess I kind of hit Los Angeles right before the opioid epidemic and the black tar heroin epidemic kind of swept into town, just before a bunch of laws, essentially, or piece of legislation came into act that sort of legalized sleeping on the street, that made a bunch of felonies, misdemeanors related to, you know, violence, drugs, things like that. And so I got to watch what common sense lawmaking at one point, you know, very high taxes, and, you know, there's you know, plenty of issues in Los Angeles, and there have been forever, but it really was a paradise. And then as these sort of progressive laws came into action, I saw the response from the American public, and the response was mass drug addiction, violence, homelessness, crime, and total lawlessness really on the streets of Los Angeles. And I was a victim of multiple crimes.
Wow.
I saw stuff that I will never be able to unsee. And my life wow. went being this beautiful dream of, you know, biking around the West Side and like hanging out in Santa Monica and Venice Beach with like celebrities and going to the Nobu White Party and parties in the hills and all that kind of stuff too. Do we really need to leave the house today?
Yeah.
Because the guy with the machete and no pants is back outside of the grocery store.
Good
and
God.
I don't know if I want to risk my life to pay $8.
But Kay, what they people real? They elected Karen Bass, man. I'm sure things are going to get better out there, right?
No, they didn't like Karen Bass. I don't trust. Like, voting in California isn't real.
It's a joke.
I got sent a ballot. I can't vote. I'm not legal to vote. And I got sent a ballot for the recall election of Governor Gavin Newsom a couple of years ago when I was still living there.
Yeah.
That election cycle is ridiculous and it's rampant with huge problems that all need to be addressed, but they won't because it's a city founded on corruption. It's founded on violence.
Kay,
and there are a lot of good people there, but they have to live amongst it.
All right, I gotta go. Kay, great to have you on. Kay Smythe writes for the Daily Caller. Obviously, you can find you on social media, Getter and Twitter at Kay Smythe, KaySmythe. Kay, great to talk to you. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Thank you so much, Rob. Sorry I monopolized a bit there.
That's all right, no big deal. I do it the other 3 hours of the show. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show, hour number 3 of the radio program. Coming up, including some more audio with regard to China and the revolution that is happening there that the United States should be behind. But when Democrats are in charge, they never support the freedom-loving people of the world. They never do. Iran's Green Revolution, Cuba Revolution earlier this year and last year. What's going on in Iran right now with women saying, screw your hijab, I'm not going to wear it. And you know, honestly, with a little support from the United States of America, these regimes can topple. All right, it happened with the former Soviet Union, and all it took was a few words from people like Ronald Reagan, Maggie Thatcher, Pope John Paul II, and Lech Walesa. Lech Walesa, the leader of Poland, who wasn't a leader at the time. All of these things can be done if you just have the moral authority to do something about it. But you see, countries like China are the template for those in power in Washington, D.C. They like it. They like it. And now a brief, brand new musical interlude about Maricopa County. Maricopa County certified the election, even though it was, it looks pretty fraudulent. But Carrie Lake is fighting back.
Every election in Arizona, there's always problems to be found. Machines seem to go down. The worst offender is Maricopa. They did it again. Because the fix was in, they stole the race from Blake. They ripped off Kerry Lake. One particular place really takes the cake. Maricopa, that crooked county.
That county.
The fraudsters were paid a big bounty. Maricopa, that screwed up county. Election stealing, Katie's dirty dealing. Maricopa. Kerry won't quit.
Hashtag Kerry won. Hey, you know, I'm not afraid to say that because I'm not being restricted right now by Twitter for saying it. If it were Twitter, like before Elon Musk, this would have been already over. Couldn't even talk about Kerry Lake. Couldn't even talk about Maricopa County. All the counties that people in charge of the elections were forced to certify this election. The same way in Pennsylvania. There's one county in Pennsylvania. They're not certifying. I'll get the information. I don't have it in front of me right now. But there are some places they're going, no, you know what? No. And I think that there were ungodly tales of election. That was nice. That was a little Freudian slip there, wasn't it? That was really good. Erection fraud. Yeah, you don't want that. That's something you don't even want. Election fraud. See, there you go. Right there. You're right in the middle of a point. You do a. Anyway. But we'll see. Carrie Lake is going to challenge the election, and she should, because if this election, with all of the just the blatant obvious questions, you know, you've got the Secretary of State in charge of the election, was supposed to fix it from 2020, did not debate, did not do any appearances, and then is presiding over the biggest faceplant by election officials in U.S. voting history in Maricopa County, with thousands of people saying that they were forced to, they weren't able to vote, they had to wait in line forever, they saw that their vote didn't count, and that they certified this. Honestly, if this is allowed to stand, it's over, but I don't think it will. Because you're going to get to a point where the people ain't going to take it anymore. Then when you take away the people's right of recourse with regard to an election, all bets are off. And that's what's happening in China right now. Because China has locked down its people, hopefully for the last time. They have done these ungodly restrictions on their people for COVID. Right now, there are no COVID deaths in China. But they are literally making cities into concentration camps for their citizens. And there was a case where a building was sealed to keep people in during the COVID pandemic, and the building caught fire, and the people burned to death, including a child. And that's why people are really mad about it, and that's why we should pray for the overthrow of the Chinese Communist Party. This is Jack Posobiec, talking about why the revolt is happening.
They were locked inside their homes by their own government. They were forced inside. They were stuck inside. And their loved ones were forced to listen. While these people, Han Chinese and Uyghurs, burned alive at the order of the Chinese Communist Party. This was a massacre. This was the Xinjiang massacre. And Western media is barely even talking about it.
How many more massacres did the Chinese party get before they're driven from power?
Out. What sparked these protests? They're acting as if it's just sort of happening spontaneously overnight. Well, there was a powder keg that had been building for months and months and weeks that led up to this.
Yeah. They're calling it the White Paper Rebellion. Why is that? Hold on. Here we go. Come on. Oh, hold on. I got to start this again. I apologize. This is Posobiec talking about why it's called the White Paper Rebellion.
What happened on Thanksgiving Day in China, it was a massacre. And the people all across China are now coming forward.
You don't have to be a means of taxation and production anymore.
And they're holding up pieces of paper, blank pieces of paper. Why? Because they know you can get arrested for holding
up. It's a little ballsier than, I don't know, a liberal student on campus chasing a conservative off campus. A little different, yeah.
An anti-government slogan, an anti-party slogan. So they're holding up blank pieces of paper, and they're calling it the Baijiguoming, the White Paper Revolution. Because to protest censorship, they're just holding up blank pieces of paper.
Wow.
There's another thing they're saying. They're saying, Gong Chan Dong Xia Tai. Gong Chan Dong Xia Tai. Take down the CCP.
Whoa.
They're chanting it in Mandarin.
Yeah, here you can say that without being murdered. Not over there.
The first place that I saw this was in Shanghai, but then I realized that it's going on in cities across the country. It's even taking place in Beijing.
Yeah, and I mean it when I say pray for the revolution, pray for the destruction of the Chinese Communist Party. Pray for it, because they're evil. It's okay to pray for their destruction.
They're also saying another phrase. Qi lai bu yuan zuo nu li de ren min. Arise those who refuse to be slaves.
Wow.
Believe it or not, that's the first line of the Chinese national anthem. See, the problem with running a revolutionary regime and a revolutionary rhetoric with revolutionary rhetoric is that eventually that rhetoric can be turned against you.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing happen right now across every single major city across China. The people of China are proxies for the American people and every single freedom-loving human being on this planet.
Southern border, anyone?
We know that we're faced with threats to our freedom and our security.
Yeah, the DHS and their their disinformation campaign that continues to silence your free speech
here in the United States, because every single day you see a new story in the news about someone who's just the victim of a violent crime. And some of us think that we're ready to defend ourselves against evil. And the truth is, honestly, you're probably not.
Yeah. I mean, we talk a good game. We really do. One thing you will notice about the people of China is that those who are fighting against the authoritarians, they don't have guns. They don't have the ability to defend themselves. And you want to talk about ballsy, going up against these armed thugs, the communist Chinese. And think about how close our government and mainstream media and big social media is to communist China. Think about how close it's come. My God in heaven. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I want to mention something real quick because I'm thrilled. I did a lot of cooking over my break, and I like to cook. Okay, I'll just be honest. I like to cook. I always have. I started as a fry cook when I was 15 years old at a truck stop in Iowa. I was hired illegally, but I wanted to work. I learned how to cook there, and I've been cooking ever since. I got about 100 cooking videos on the web. I made white smoked turkey chili with these wonderful cannellini beans from Heirloom Soup Beans. That's what I made for Thanksgiving because my kids were in town. My wife was out of town. I didn't want to make a big meal, but I had a turkey, a smoked turkey, and that's what I did. And I used these beans, and they were creamy, and they were delicious, and they were ridiculous. Right now, they got this big, beautiful box of all these Heirloom Soup Beans that you can get. They've lowered the price at $95, about half price. You get this marvelous box of these beautifully packaged beans that you can use for soups, you can use for chilies, you can use for salads, you can use for anything. They're amazing. One serving of Heirloom Beans provides an average of a third of the recommended daily intake of fiber. That's really good. I saw this too. Men can reduce the risk of bowel cancer by 20% if they eat a lot of vegetables and beans. And beans. I'm looking at these. What are these? Hold on. I got a bag right here. These big, glorious. They're called Monsters of the Mesa Verde. They're almost as big as a pecan. I don't even know what I'm going to do with them yet, but I can't wait because I got a cookbook as well from Heirloom Soup Beans. Listen, if you want to order this for Christmas, if you got a foodie in your life, or if you think you know how to make chili, or you maybe you make whatever with your soup beans, ham hocks and beans like I did about a month ago, then you should go to heirloomsoupbeans.com. Heirloomsoupbeans.com. Look at this glorious package. And by the way, you can see me on social media with the package. It's a couple of bags I've already used because they're wonderful. Fresh beans. Heirloom soup beans of every way, shape, and form. Again, go to heirloomsoupbeans.com. Look for that amazing half-price sale and get this package for the foodie in your life or for yourself. Heirloomsoupbeans.com. Is that. So Elon Musk has scrapped Twitter's COVID misinformation policy that censored tweets questioning vaccines and the lab leak origin theory. Did you know that? Hey, it happened. That happened November 23rd. You didn't know that, did you? Did you notice? And I noticed my stuff hasn't been flagged or taken down as often on Facebook and Twitter. In fact, not at all. It's pretty crazy, right? Freedom of expression. It's wonderful. And as conservatives, we haven't been able to do that. But they got rid of that. Twitter no longer enforcing the COVID-19 misinformation policy. So oddly enough, you can actually say what you think about COVID and about how it was hidden, how the origins are being hidden, and Elon Musk has made that possible. That's gigantic. But there are other things as well. He is threatening to publicly release free speech suppression files on Twitter. He's going to kick the door open and share with the world the cabal between the government, the FBI, and other agencies, the DHS, and Twitter. And the left hates it. And they're going to do anything they can to take him down. And I will tell you, if they charge me $10 a month to join Twitter, I'll freaking pay the money. I'll pay the money. If it's $20, if it's $30. If Elon Musk keeps this going, I am 100% with it. I've got my accounts for Getter. I got my account for True Social. But I'm sick of the abuse from Twitter. And if this man is going to come in and revolutionize speech, which should be free in the United States of America, but is not because of oligarchs and companies like Twitter and Facebook, I'm going to support him 100%. 100%. More audio on that. Your phone calls as well. 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
They impeached our president twice for nothing.
The truth is simple, and it's right before our eyes.
They raided his home.
I don't know what to be concerned about. No one seems to.
And they call us extremists and fascists for supporting him. Yeah, we're done with all that. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Yeah, nobody thinks Donald Trump is an anti-Semite, by the way. He had some folks over for dinner. Kanye West came over, brought this guy who supposedly, I guess, is a very troubled individual. I don't know, whatever. Nick Fuentes, never even heard of him. So West has been condemned, has lost business deals due to his anti-Semitic rhetoric. And I did I shared an interview that West did with Tucker Carlson a couple months ago. My son's been just making fun of me about it because I thought that what he said during that interview was pretty powerful, particularly from a very influential black man in a country where the murder rate, black-on-black violence in inner cities, is 13 times the national average. And I don't know Kanye West. Since I have discovered Kanye West, he's nuts, all right? I'll just tell you. Kanye West is an insane genius. And he is musically, he's a really, really brilliant man. But he's a very troubled individual, most probably bipolar. At least he said that. And apparently this dinner happened. Fuentes came along with Kanye West to Mar-a-Lago. After reports about the dinner service, Trump said he only invited West to dinner and blamed West for bringing Fuentes along. And you notice that Donald Trump is not the president anymore. All right, so, you know, it's not like he has a staff of people vetting every single, you know, like when you're the president. He said, and this is what Donald Trump said, so I helped a seriously troubled man who happens to be black, Kanye West, who has been decimated in the business and virtually everything else, and who has always been good to me by allowing his request for meeting at Mar-a-Lago alone so I can give him very much needed advice. He shows up with three people, two of them of which I didn't know, the other a political person who I haven't seen in years. I told him don't run for office, a total waste of time, can't win, fake news went crazy. And by the way, he's not an anti-Semite. It's fairly obvious. You've had so many posers in Congress, in leadership, who never did a darn thing about making the capital of Israel Jerusalem until Donald Trump came along and did it. George Bush, poser. Mitt Romney, poser. Chuck Schumer, poser. Everybody, poser. Donald Trump did it, and it meant a hell of a lot to the Jewish people. And then there are the Abraham Accords, which he should have won a Nobel Peace Prize for. So honestly, enough with the noise. And still got, you know, Chuck Schumer. They say leave Donald Trump behind. Donald Trump is over. He's over. And yet Chuck Schumer had to say this yesterday in the Senate.
Last week, it was reported that Donald Trump, the former president of the United States and Republican standard bearer, had dinner at Mar-a-Lago with a notorious bigot who fancies himself a leading thinker on...
I think you've had broken bread with a couple of really bigots like the Reverend Al Sharpton. Beyond bigot. Beyond anti-Semite.
Extreme edges of the hard right. Embracing everything.
And honestly, blah, 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 blah. It hasn't affected the polling. Donald Trump is still out in front as far as the polling is concerned. And you know what? The more you say these things, even though we're supposed to leave Donald Trump in the rearview mirror of history and he's no longer relevant, you make him more relevant. You make us angrier. You make us want to fight even more. There's no other politician like that right now. Ron is a very interesting cat, no doubt. There's not the passion that those who support Donald Trump, not because he's Donald Trump, because what he did, and what he did was what he said he was going to do when he got to Washington. And he has taken fire and arrows, stepped in the way of those arrows that were headed in your direction. He's the firewall. That's why people will not stop supporting him. Sorry, sucks to be you. That's just the way it is. Let's go to Chris in Fort Worth. Hello there, Chris. How you doing, my friend? What's on your mind today?
Hey, it's Chris in Fort Worth, your man, and the weather is sunny and clear skies, but a cold Maricopa County breeze still coming here. I hate it. Yeah. I know they hate it there. Hey, you got a picture, Sweet Tooth, you've been best in Peloton. You're going to eat those desserts. But hey, I'm really pissed. I'm tired of the steal. Yeah. I'm pissed off in 2020. Now I'm really pissed off in 2022. The steal. Us good guys can never win. We always finish last lately, and I'm sick of it. Because we know we're right. And I'm fed up. It's a never-ending movie where the evil guy always wins. What do you think?
Chris, I want to ask you this. You know, because somebody told me earlier, they said, we need to play their game. We need to get into the mail-in ballot thing. We need to do this. We need to do. No, you know. Here's what we need to do. Follow Florida. Boom. Done. Follow Florida, Chris. That's what we do. We don't try to play their filthy, rotten, scumbag game. We follow Florida. We do what Florida did. By the way, that template in Florida, you can credit Donald Trump with that. Because Ron DeSantis barely got elected the first time. Overwhelmingly won when he adopted the tactics of Donald Trump confronting the media. And his policies are Trumpian. Chris, go ahead.
Yes, and by the way, you know, actually last week, 2 weeks ago, you Simon Cowell'd me. I promise I will never sing a song on your show. You cut me off and I deserve
that. Yeah, Chris, you know, dude, I got to tell you, as much as I love, we got a lot of creative people in the audience, don't get me wrong. But sometimes you kind of got to stick to your wheelhouse there, Chris. You know, you know what I'm saying,
hey,
brother?
God bless you.
All right, man. It's Merry always good Christmas. To talk to you, bro. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, my brother. Happy Hanukkah. If you celebrate, happy Hanukkah. Heck yeah. Kwanzaa, I don't even care. I don't even care. Dress like an elf day. I don't even care. But I say Merry Christmas. All right. Who shut down the trucker protests in Canada? Would you believe our dear leader, Joe Biden? Mm-hmm. That's what happened. That's on the way. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Biden's first year in office summed up in three words. Welcome back, Carter.
That's not right. It's not fair to us. And honestly, it's not fair to the world.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
And it's the Rob Carson Show. Last half hour. Oh, my God. We're the half hour. I'm just so grateful to be here, guys. I sometimes maybe I don't. I hope I say it enough. I'm just really grateful to be doing this for a living. And I waited a very long time to do. And I know that things are really rough for a lot of people right now. And you got people literally, and I listen, we got a Dollar General, we got a Dollar Tree, and we got another dollar store. And then we got a, what the hell is that place? It's where the poor people shop. Because I know we got our Christmas tree from there. What is it called? I can't remember. Anyway, we got a Christmas tree when I was unemployed about 3 years ago. And I was, but 4 years ago, I was about ready to, I don't know. It was terrible. It was terrible. My wife was going to leave me. We were going broke. We lost our house. And we went and bought this tree. At this discount store, and it's a crappy little tree. It is. It's not self-lit or anything, but it was like $30, so that's what we bought. And we still put it up. We put it up. It's a garbage tree, but we did. So I know what it's like. It's when you can't provide for your family, it's a big deal for me. And call me old-fashioned, but you can't provide for your family, your self-worth goes to the toilet. And I'm just so blessed to do this. And I hope that if you're not in that position right now, or if you're hurting, that I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. Maybe that's worth something to you. Maybe it's not. It's just, I know, and particularly this time of year, it's magnified. Some economists say that there's going to be a significant drop in home prices. This is according to Axios, left-leaning publication. Home prices mostly too high to appeal to buyers who are facing skyrocketing mortgage rates. Sellers are low to lower their asking prices. Sales are cratering. Some folks are just walking away from deals. I had a house next door, and they're moving out of the house for the first time in 30 years. They've lived there 30 years. And they're getting ready to go, and they're ready to rock and roll in, and the financing, the whole deal just fell through. Now the house is sitting there empty. There's a lot of that happening. So it looks like we won't see what we did in 2008, because I was there, and we lost our butts. We bought a house for way over during the real estate bubble that was fueled by the subprime, which is what the government did to screw it up. And we ended up losing our house, and now we're going through this. We're not going to see that, but most probably if you have a home and you want to sell it and you can sit on it, you know. Corporate layoffs, a warning sign of coming economic crash landing. And these are companies that normally are recession-proof. Amazon laying off 10,000 people at Amazon. And retirement savings down 23% from a year ago. So people on fixed incomes are really getting hosed. You got this. Listen to this. Mississippi-based furniture company laid off the entire staff. United Furniture Industries told employees via text overnight yesterday that they wouldn't come in for work on Monday morning. And this is terrible. They also said their health insurance would not be protected by Cobra. Why the hell do they call it Cobra? Cobra is a venomous snake. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever had to try to afford Cobra, it's stupid expensive. It's like two car payments. It's absolutely outrageous. Cobra. It should be called Cobra. It should be called Rattlesnake. I swear, every time you get the option for Cobra, and it's only $1,500 a month. Oh, yeah, that'll go great with my unemployment check. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah, Joe Biden ordered the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, to stop the Freedom Convoy that protested the border against vaccine mandates. Did you know that? Trudeau is set to testify on Friday regarding his decision to clear the convoy as part of the Canadian government investigation. Canadian Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland previously testified that Washington was very, very worried about the blockades. 3 days after speaking with Biden on February the 14th, Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act to clear out the protesters. Joe Biden did this. According to Freeland, Biden had described the blockades as a shared problem. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who clearly is transphobic because he's not been able to fix the supply chain issues and we're getting ready to go into a rail strike. Transphobic spoke with his Canadian counterpart, Transport Minister Omar Al-Ghabra, to try to come up with a plan to resolve the blockades. 3 days after meeting, Trudeau invoked Canada's Emergency Act, which they had never used, rarely used, was used to freeze bank accounts, ban travel to the protests, and compelled how trucks to remove vehicles from the blockade. Friedland said financial institutions are being given the power to suspend or freeze personal corporate accounts that are suspected of funding illegal protests. Oddly enough, they're doing the same thing in China. Oddly enough, they're doing the same thing in Brazil. Yeah. Toronto Dominion Bank last week froze two personal bank accounts that received $1.4 million for the protests. Yeah, they shut it down. Joe Biden shut it down. Now, do you wonder why Joe Biden's not supporting the free people of China and of Iran and of Cuba? You shouldn't question. It's fairly obvious. They're the template. They are the template, folks. Meanwhile, you have Elon Musk. He's threatening and he's going to release all of the BS associated with censorship by Twitter of Hunter's laptop, among other things. And he's going to kick the door open on all of the election suppression. He's saying, let the revolution begin. He's going to release free speech suppression files on Twitter, and everybody's panicked and everybody wants to shut him down. Why is that? Why is it Democrats? Why is that? It's because conservatism can now be expressed on Twitter. And those who have leftist ideals have to defend their position. And they can't because they're intellectually and morally bankrupt. And their policies always end up in poverty and death. Here is Corinne Jean-Pierre, the mousy Marxist, not a terribly smart person, talking about the Elon Musk problem.
Question about Twitter. There's a researcher at Stanford who says that this is a critical moment, really, in terms of ensuring that Twitter does not become a vector for misinformation.
Yeah, misinformation or disinformation are a product of the government. And this dipwad, probably an NPR reporter, should know that. But she's spoiled. She doesn't go to prison for expressing her opinion like they do in China. But let me just tell you, there are a lot of people in D.C. who would love that opportunity.
I mean, are you concerned about Elon Musk says there's more and more subscribers coming online. Are you concerned about that? And what tools do you have? Who is it at the White House that is really keeping track of this?
So, look, this is something that we're certainly keeping an eye on. And look, have always been very...
Why? Why is this important to you? What is he doing that is in any way, shape, or form totalitarian and against free speech?
Clear. And that when it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when we come
there, you go. That's a word of the government
to the hate that we're seeing.
There's no hate increase on Twitter.
That they take action. That they continue to take action. Again, we're all keeping a close eye on this. We're all monitoring what's currently occurring. And we see it with our own eyes of what you all are reporting.
Yeah, they're not monitoring. They're seething. They hate it. They hate it. They hate it. By the way, here's a headline. Elon Musk proves the left wing wrong again as he shares slides from a talk with Twitter workers showing hate speech is down. It is. And by the way, I might also mention, they've also reported new user signups at an all-time high, averaging $2 million people per day. 2 million people per day. Can you hear the people sing? I can hear them singing. I love it. I love it. Oh, here. This is fantastic. This is Corinne Jean-Pierre. Honestly, wow. Childlike in her ignorance. Here she is. She doesn't know that the Nobel Prize is called the Nobel Prize. I'm just saying this. I'm just playing this just for bleeps and giggles because, honestly, how could you be a spokesperson for the President of the United States and not know it's the Nobel Prize?
Today, President Biden met with three U.S. winners of the 2022 Nobel Prize, Dr. Caroline Bertozzi, who yes. won the Nobel Prize
the
in
Nobel
chemistry,
Prize.
Dr. John Clauser, who won the Nobel Prize in physics, and Dr. Douglas Diamond, who won the Nobel Prize in economic science.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, yeah, this is pretty funny. CNN analyst, he described freedom of speech as nonsense, by the way. Yeah. CNN newsroom host Boris Sanchez began by bringing up the news that Elon Musk plans to grant amnesty to accounts that were previously suspended. Musk made the decision after running a Twitter poll in which 72.4% of people approved of welcoming the previously banned accounts. And here is CNN's response. Provided I can get it to play. Hold on.
You know, misinformation or disinformation with deep fakes and with the sophistication by which.
Misinformation and disinformation are government words. They are government words. They are the only people who can arbitrarily decide what is misinformation and disinformation. And that is your opinion if you disagree with the government. They're claiming it to be those. And that means they're forbidden.
Some of these influence campaigns are developed. How do you discern what's real versus what's fake, even, you know, in light of that sophistication?
You do your own research and you make up your own mind.
Well, that's why the pre-Musk Twitter had 7,000 people going through these accounts. You can pick them out with algorithms. You can pick them out by looking at them. You can check IPs and the rest of it, and you simply block them.
Yeah, if you just look at words like ivermectin.
And it's not right. And, you know, this freedom of speech is just nonsense because you can't go into a movie theater and yell fire.
That is the dumbest argument about free speech, honestly. Freshman 101 history in, like, not even college, like elementary school. This is the dumbest argument about freedom of speech ever.
And you simply block them. And it's not right. And, you know, this freedom of speech is just nonsense because you can't go into a movie theater and yell fire. It's against the law. And what Putin's going to do and the Russians is they're going to use this as a vehicle to save.
It's easy to claim that there's freedom of speech when your ideology is completely predominant in the mainstream media, big social media, and in governance. It's easy to sit back and throw rocks until you've really experienced it. And as long as Elon Musk continues this trajectory, I will support him to the ends of the earth. Let's take a break. David, you hold on. You'll be up next. This is The Rob Carson Show.
Bulldoze the swamp, pave it over, and start again. It's The Rob Carson Show.
I've said on a number of occasions that the government subjects you to abuses and usurpations. They demoralize you whenever possible. One of the ridiculous things that this country is doing is we're going to Venezuela, our enemy, and they are going to help Chevron to increase their oil production to enrich the people in charge there. Maduro administration, the same administration that has released prisoners wholesale to come to the United States across the open border. And by the way, border guards are preparing for a collapse of the migration system when Title 42 ends just days before Christmas. The border will collapse completely before then. This is on Joe Biden. There will be a point that this man has to be removed from office. There will be a point that this affront to our sovereignty and our safety has to be punished. I'll have more on that tomorrow. This is John Kirby with regard to Venezuelan oil, being asked about Venezuelan oil. Here he is.
Yes. Why is it that President Biden would rather let U.S. companies drill for oil in Venezuela than here in the U.S.?
That's not an accurate take on the president's view.
Earlier this month, he said no more drilling. There is no more drilling.
The president has issued 9,000 permits for drilling on U.S.
And he's told all the oil companies that he wants to get rid of fossil fuel. He said it during the campaign. He says it every day. Why in the hell would you move anything to one of these permit locations knowing that the federal government will shut them down? End of story. Drop the mic. Pick it up, Mr. Kirby.
U.S. federal lands, Peter. 9,000 of them.
And while you're bending over, I'm going to kick you in the butt.
Being unused. There are plenty of opportunities for oil and gas companies to drill here in the United States. I'll let Chevron.
No, not when you got a government that the president, with the stroke of a pen, said that all of the government's vehicles would be converted to electric, even though the grid is not set up for it. There is no way to power, let's say, for a city like Kansas City, where I live. There is no way. You could have thousands of acres of solar arrays. You could have thousands of acres of wind farms. They will not power that city. They will not do it. You know what does it? Big old coal fire plant south of town. And if you buy an EV, you're a poser. And I'm just going to mention this real quick. If you have an EV, enjoy it. If it's just for driving to Whole Foods, you'll be fine. If you attempt to get an EV pickup truck, you're going to be hosed. Because in cold weather, when you're towing anything, when you're going up in a hill, ain't going to do anything for you. And it's all powered by fossil fuel. Oh, and the dealership near me, there's a Buick dealership near me, and they had that big old electric Hummer. Remember the electric Hummer? Hot as heck. When you saw it, oh my God, it's been, weighs 9,500 pounds, costs $130,000. They had four of them. They got four of them to sell. That was 2 months ago. You want to guess how many are still there? Four of them. They're all being sold as used cars because nobody wants the dang things. No, thank you. EVs are for posers. Even Toyota admits it. Toyota said, you should have just gone with a hybrid. Hybrid's the way to go. But they decided to go all in and all done on worthless technology for cars that don't go very far and cannot perform in the work environment. That's fine. Good luck with that EV. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll just say it because I'm right most of the time in my predictions. I am. Listen to the show. Sometimes I'm wrong. Doesn't happen very often because, you know, I use common sense, life experience, and research. Those EVs are going to be worthless in 2 years. You will not be able to get rid of them. I'm just going to say, you think that's going up in value? You're high. Let's go to Steve in Monterey. Hello, Steve. How you doing, my buddy? What's going on?
Thanks, Rob, for taking my call.
Yeah.
About the election and the, I call them the infiltrates in our government that are making a now or never kind of move against America with our elections.
Yes.
And they're doing it because they see us flat on our face. Unable to even discuss who killed John Lennon in real life.
Okay, bye. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to David in Santa Cruz. David, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rob. Thank you. First time caller, long time listener. I just wanted to acknowledge the time that you take to talk about your financial situation and your past and the humble beginnings, and just say what you said today about your prayers being out, because it actually brought me to tears today, because my family is one of those families that's struggling and having a hard time making ends meet when 2 years ago we were taking vacations to Disneyland. So, just wanted to say it's rare to hear somebody take the time to acknowledge in that and say that, and thank you.
David, I'll pray for you, brother. And you know what? Just don't give up. Don't give up.
No.
Don't give up. I'm going to tell you. I went through a time that, you know, the Jimmy Stewart standing on the bridge, looking down, and then in goes Clarence. I would have nights where I would say to God, I say, God, please help me, or maybe just let me go. Just let me die in my sleep tonight, because I couldn't provide for my family. David, don't ever
where
go there.
At.
Dude, things
Three
are going to...
kids, but we're going to get through it. Just tough in California,
are.
But...
Yes, you are.
You know?
All right, brother.
We
you
are.
Hang in there. You hang in there. Oh, Big Lots was the place we got the tree, that little crappy tree. That was where we got it. Big Lots. We were so poor. We were so poor, we moved to Kansas City. I took a coworker out to get a frozen yogurt, and my card declined. So I know where you are if you're suffering. I know it. You're going to be okay. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let's take a break and come back. It's a Rob Carson Show. All right, guys, that's going to do it for the show today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure to check out the podcast. It is the radio show, but no commercials, edited down. It's awesome. Newsmaxtv.com/podcast. Believe, fight, and never give up hope. And until tomorrow, don't catch the stupid. God bless you guys. I'll see you soon.